Our speaker today is a Buddhist monk, and he has quite a background. He is from Bangalore, India. He is part of a monastery group there, and he is touring the United States, giving a message of peace and love. And we are so fortunate to have him here. He will be doing a seminar following the potluck luncheon today, about 12:15. So if you're interested in hearing more, he will be doing a seminar at that time. His name I cannot pronounce without having it written in front of me, but you're certainly welcome to address him as Bhante. He has a background in law in India. He's very educated. He received a spiritual call and decided that he needed to look. And he found the monastery in Bangalore, and that is where he got his training. Help me today to welcome the Venerable He'll tell you what the name is. So help me welcome him today. Thank you.
So mind, basically, as we understand, is a very dynamic phenomenon. It's not one static object. When we say, my mind, we often say like this, my mind thinks like this, my mind does like this. So, but this thing that we refer to as my mind is a very dynamic phenomenon, in the sense that it is not just one composite fixed object, it is changing all the time. It is just made up of waves, thoughts, thought process, what we call. The thought process is just wave after wave after wave after wave. It just goes on and on and on. That is, and when we say my mind or this mind, we basically refer to this ever going, ever changing thought process. So when we say my mind, we necessarily refer to mind at this time and not to a mind which I might have had 5 minutes before or 5 minutes later which I would be having. So that's how the mind basically works. And if you are sitting in meditation, and when you do meditation, I guess you all have noticed one simple thing at least, that when you are sitting in meditation, concentrating on your meditation object, whatever the object is, your mind is changing or moving from one place to the other. It is not just fixed to the object of meditation all the time. It is changing. Changing means it is having other thoughts also. You are concentrating on your meditation object and then suddenly it goes to some other thought. And then you bring it back again. And then again it goes to some other thought. So it's basically changing all the time. And that is what the nature of mind. And since it is such a dynamic phenomena, this mind is, if we know how to control it, how to use it for our benefit, then we can take a lot of advantage out of it. We can use it to our advantage. How? The question is, how? How do we do that? So as I said, it's just a series of thoughts, wave of thoughts, come and go, come and go, come and go. That's how it goes. Now, when we meditate, we basically are looking into our mind. In Buddhist meditation, a large part of the meditation is to observe the mind, the mental process itself. And the reason we observe this mental process is when we keep observing, we know the flow of thoughts, we know the nature of those thoughts also. What are those thoughts? What is their nature? The positive, the negative, the good ones, the bad ones. We know their nature. Again and again, when we observe those thoughts, then again and again, we become aware of our own mental behavioral pattern. So what we generally do at certain times, what we generally don't do at certain times, how we generally react in a situation or how we do not react in a situation. So when you observe the behavior of our own mind, these patterns start revealing itself over a period of time. So when we start getting some understanding about these mental behavioral patterns, keep on observing them, keep on seeing our reactions, keep on reading our reactions, observing our reactions, keep on analyzing them, then we understand that in such a situation we are likely to behave in this way. In another situation we are likely to behave in a different way. So we can most of the times successfully predict our own behavior even before we have actually done it. So we know what is coming our way from inside, from our own mind. We become aware what is coming. So when we know, then it's not just about knowing what is coming our way. It is also about trying, when we know that what are the positive things that we have, what are not the positive things, negative things that we have, how much of positivity have I generated within me, how much of good qualities have I generated in me, how much of good qualities still to be generated, how many bad qualities still to be given up in my mind. When we reach that level, then we are surely in a much better, in an informed place to take care of the reduction of the negative qualities that we have. We are in a position to understand that these are the negative qualities that I possess generally, that I, when I react through these things. And then if I know that I am about to react in a negative way, I am always in a better position to take charge of it and say, no, I am not going to do this. I am going to reverse the process. I am going to turn this negative emotion or unwholesome thought or bad thought, I am just going to pause it. I am just going to observe it and let it go. Instead of that, I am just going to develop something which is better and helpful for me, which is beneficial to me. So it's a process. It's a reversal of one habit pattern with another habit pattern. Generally, we all have our own habit patterns, the patterns in which our mind works. And the pattern is generally instinctively reacting to certain situations. Yeah. If we have a pain, we say, oh, this pain is bad. We will say generally, this pain is bad. But we will probably not do is to observe the pain, to observe the mind connection with the pain, to observe the mental reaction to the pain, to see how it is painful through the physical experience or how we can actually end up increasing the pain by clinging on to the pain itself through our mind. So if we have a pain, and what we generally will do probably is, we say, I have a pain. So it is not just the physical pain anymore, it also becomes a mental burden for us. It becomes a burden with our own mind. So when it happens, when this is the pardon happens with our mind, when we say that we have a pain, then we are mentally, not only physically we have a pain, we are mentally clinging to that process of pain. And that, if you could observe, you will also understand when you are mentally clinging to that process of pain, painful sensation in the body, it does not reduce the pain, it actually makes us feel the pain more, it actually intensifies the painful process. It sort of aggravates the painful sensations much more than what it actually was 5 minutes before when I did not think like that. So, basically, which means if we could use our mind as a tool to analyze, to explore, instead of just clinging on to the experiences that we are experiencing all the time, then we would be in a better position to understand that these experiences are just experiences and they are not going to be life-changing in most cases. Otherwise, what we do is we tend to think when we are not correctly understanding, we tend to make a big problem out of a small issue, basically. So in many cases. And then what happens is, when we make it, and how do we make it? We make it through our own mind. And when we make it like that, then it is very difficult for us to get out of it, because it is our own creation. It is the creation of our own mind. So then it becomes doubly difficult for us to come out of it, because we just love the concept that we have created with our mind. And then it is all the more difficult to get rid of it, to let it go and say, no, this is just an unwise concept. Why should I cling on to it anyways? But that becomes all the more difficult because we are always in love with our own ideas and our own concepts. So the process of observation, the mental observation that should be cultivated is not to create concepts about the painful sensations or the pleasant sensations, but to use the very same mind in a different way to use it as a tool to explore those sensations, to explore those experiences and see how painful or not so painful they are in reality. So it's like if you have a pain, instead of just saying, I have a pain, I have a pain, I have a pain, see the pain itself. See how it comes, how it goes, how it increases, how it decreases. It is not just when you say, no pain in this world, from my personal meditative understanding, what I understand is, whatever plain painful sensation or pleasant sensation that you had experienced, that you are experiencing, and that you will experience in future, is not just one solid block of painful or pleasant sensation. It is just also similar to the mind, wave after wave sensations. One sensation of pain arises and it passes away. And then next moment there is another sensation of pain, because there is some problem with that part of the body. So body is generating those unpleasant sensations. Then it arises, pass away. Then again another unpleasant one arises, pass away. So it's basically arising and passing of pain in every pain. Similar with the pleasant experiences we have. That is with all the pleasant and unpleasant experiences that we have. It's just waves up and down it goes. But when we start looking at our own pain, what we do is, we think it is just one solid block of pain that is on my head, that is on my body, that is just creating too much of trouble, because we are not observing objectively the process of arising and passing away of these waves of pain. If we could observe, then we'll automatically say, okay, what I always thought as a solid block of pain is not really so, it's just waves. Sometimes it increases, sometimes it decreases. If that is the case, then I cannot hold on to one of these waves, because each wave is coming and just going. So I cannot hold on to one of these waves and say, this is painful, because everyone in their own way is increasing the pain, coming down, again another one increasing the pain, coming down, again another one increasing the pain, coming down. So you will just see a physical process, a physical, what you can call it, sensation or vibrations in the body or whatever you wish to call it according to your own understanding. A process, for example, certain vibrations in a particular area of the body. You will just see as certain vibrations in the body, and then when you see it just vibrations arising and passing away, it's just waves arising and passing away, then automatically you will know, okay, this is not something that I should just try to cling on to. Because even if I am doing, it's just a process. It is not something that I could do about anything. It's just a process that just keeps happening, repeating itself over a period of time. All pleasant and unpleasant sensations are like this. So then we learn something better. We learn how to live with unpleasant situations and pleasant situations without clinging on to those experiences. And that is a great power of the mind. That is an enormous power of the mind. Mind can do a lot of things. Mind can indeed do a lot of things. When I say power of mind, then this entire universe is the power of mind, in a way. By the power of these beings, that so many kinds of beings, their mental power, the universe goes through ups and downs. The world system changes. So power of mind is enormous. And there can be a person, by one's power of mind, power of cultivation of meditation, a person can achieve a lot of things. One can perform miracles, one can do extraordinary things, but then no miracle is higher than the miracle of transformation of a bad mind to a good mind. That is always the highest miracle. You must always remember. We can do, maybe we are able to perform miracles by our own meditative power or things like that, but that is not the highest miracle. But the highest miracle is, the greatest miracle is, the transformation of the mind itself from a bad mind to a good mind, from an unwholesome mind to a wholesome mind. That is the highest transformation. And the reason I say this is the highest transformation is, as long as we possess the unwholesome qualities, some of these bad qualities, unwholesome qualities, negative qualities in us, today or tomorrow, they are going to produce some unhappy situations for us. Not because of some external agency, it is because we have always in our mind kept certain bad things. Like you say, everybody on a certain day, whether it's Monday or Wednesday or Friday or Saturday, take the trash out of the house for recycling. So common. Similarly, we also have to take the trash out of our mind, because we have some of the things, our greed, our hatred, our jealousy, our pride, our ignorance. We have to take some of these things out of our mind, and we can do that. It's not that it's impossible to do. We can do it. The moment we constantly, objectively start observing, seeing, analyzing, exploring, we can understand the good things that are there in the mind. We can understand the bad things that are there in mind. And when we correctly start understanding, we can also take care of the bad things. We can also start reducing them. We can also enhance our good qualities to a much higher degree. And that is what causes us
the happiness or unhappiness. The more good qualities we possess, happier we get. The more bad qualities we possess, unhappier we get. It is simple. So, the reason I say it is the greatest transformation from bad to good is that is the way to find the happiness. Happiness here, happiness hereafter. Because if you could do other miracles, whatever supernormal miracles they make, they could be, if your mind is still possessing some of these negative qualities, today or tomorrow, you are still likely to face unhappiness in one form or the other. But if you could take out these bad qualities, then you could be safe here and hereafter, today, tomorrow, and for all times. You could tell yourself, now I have taken out whatever negativities I had in my mind, so therefore I don't need to worry about anything, because whatever the situation may be in this world, unhappiness will still not come to me anymore in any form at any point of time whatsoever. That is the highest, most superlative power of the mind, to be able to cure itself, provided we are able to train it, we are willing to train it in the right way. We are willing to train it and give ourselves the enough time for the cultivation of our own mental culture. Then it can, by its own power, the power which it develops, it can transform itself from a uncut, unpolished diamond, just a piece of rock, to something like a very shining, brilliant diamond, which is very expensive, very pricey. So that is the real power of the mind, to have, to which it always has. The real power of the mind is to transform itself in the right way, to transform itself by giving up the unwholesome qualities, by taking the good qualities up to the highest possible level. That is the greatest transformative power of the mind. There are lots of other powers of the mind. You know, if I have to talk about it, it would probably, I can talk about it whole day, I can talk about it whole year, I can talk about it whole life, still it will probably not come to an end. And probably I could end up writing a huge book, but that's unnecessary, I believe. Because the main intention when I say talking about the power of mind is how it transforms itself, how it develops the wisdom about our own mental process. How it develops the wisdom by the process of mindful observation, how it develops the wisdom, and through that wisdom, how it transforms itself from a bad to a good state, from an unhappy to a happy state. That is the highest power of the mind, because there are other powers of the mind. Sometimes we are able to read the mind of other people. Okay. Some people may be able to do that. But that is not enough. If somebody says, I know so and so person, he can read the mind of other people, you can ask him, that is wonderful. Can he, or has he taken out all the bad qualities from his mind so that he is always happy? Or he is still unhappy even after reading the minds of other people? So then it doesn't serve the right purpose. To be able to read the mind of other people is good, but still not good enough to remove our own mental defilements, our own mental problems, our own mental negativities. So we have to do this by ourselves, and other people cannot do it. Other people can at the most tell us, you should be a good person, you should be trying to do something good. But other people surely will not be in a position to do it for us. It's like other people can maybe cook food for you, but you still have to eat it. Other people cannot eat it for you. And Since other people cannot eat it for you, if you refuse to eat, you still remain hungry. That is as simple as that. Similarly, if you refuse to say, I will give attention to my mind, I will try to analyze the mind, read my mind, understand my mind, analyze it, explore it, know its real characteristics, whatever it is, good or bad. If you say, I will refuse to do all these things, other people will not be able to transform your mind. But if you say, yes, I am willing to do this, I will do this, I will observe it, I will take care of it, I will see what are the good things, what are the bad things, how I develop the good things in a better way, how I give up the bad things, I will look into this. Then you can. Everybody, each one of us can. Each human being has the ability. As human beings, we have tremendous power. We can understand. You know, one of the greatest power as a human being is to have the ability to develop the wisdom, correct understanding of any particular situation. Dogs cannot do it, cats cannot do it, birds cannot do it, animals cannot do it. We humans can. We can understand this is how it happened, this is how it will happen, this is the right, this is the wrong. We can understand because we are human beings. So we always have an edge over other beings. But the problem is, having edge is one thing, willingness to use it is another. And most of the cases, most human beings are just so much engrossed in instinctive or impulsive behavior that they are losing their opportunity. That's a good sign. I think you guys are getting bored. So, yeah.
He told us. To tell him.
No, it's her job. It's her job. She's doing her job. No, you cannot tell her that because that's part of her duty. So.
I'm thinking negativity.
Yeah.
Turn it to positive.
Right. So, because yeah. So, and the thing is, and then when we do like that, but if we are unwilling to do like that, then it's. We are never in a position to do any good to us. We are never in a position to improve the quality of our mind. And trust me, if you are unable to improve the quality of your mind, do not even try to go and tell other people you should improve the quality of your mind. Because it's useless. If I cannot do good to myself, why should I go and tell other people? It's like, as I say, keep on saying, I think some people who attended my talk yesterday, I will give the same thing. It's like a thief talking about generosity, who steals from other people and says, you should be generous. What do? Oh, that's some other business you should not know. So be good, or at least make an effort to be good. Then you can always go and tell other people that, okay, you should also be good. I am also trying to be good. You should also try to be good. But if you are not trying to be good, if you are not looking into your mind, if you are not exploring, if you are not taking out the negativities, just increasing them, enhancing them, then you should not go and tell, oh, you should do something about your mind. Look at your mind so dirty, then he might just say, your mind is probably dirtier than mine. So that's why. One should help oneself first, then only one is able to rightly help other people. Otherwise, it becomes sometimes a misguided help, a misdirectional help. And with these thoughts, I will conclude my little talk here.
Thank you.
Is there a question-answer session with this, or it will happen later?
We have a workshop today, aren't you? So,
okay.
Well, I know you've all been just entranced with what he's had to say. So stick around after the potluck and join in a seminar, because there's a lot more available. And so it will be here probably about 12:15 that we will be getting together for the seminar. It could last an hour. So come on back and hear much more.